Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. In last week's study on shadows of things to come, we considered the relative position of our shadow in relation to the source of light. We considered how our shadow is cast in the direction opposite the source of light. Whenever we are walking towards the light, our shadow will always be behind us. Spiritually, as we are walking towards the light, do we focus our attention on what is before us, or do we focus attention on our shadow, which always seems to play catch-up with the body? Do we focus on what is before us, or what is already behind us? The Bible gives us many different examples and passages for us to consider. And one of the prominent passages is found in the book of Genesis, where we read of Abraham's nephew Lot and how his family was compelled to leave Sodom. We pick up the account in Genesis 18, verse 16, where angels from God had met with Abraham and were preparing to go to Sodom. Genesis 18, verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. God already knew an incredible blessing would be bestowed upon the children of Abraham, and how through his children all people on earth would be blessed because of their obedience to the ways of God. God debated whether to keep his punishment for Sodom and Gomorrah from Abraham, and decided to let Abraham know what would happen to the wicked city. Verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." God had heard the cries of people that Sodom and Gomorrah were cities of evil, and God decided to verify if indeed what the people were concerned about was indeed true. God sent angels, the men who had visited with Abraham, to go visit the area. And Abraham stood between God and the journey to Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 20. And the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know." And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Abraham wanted to know if God would destroy the righteous along with the wicked, what today in military combat would be called collateral damage. Abraham first asked God if God would spare the city if there were 50 righteous people in the city, and God assured Abraham he would. Verse 23. And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes." Abraham extended the conversation with God, almost as if he were negotiating with God. and ask God if the city would be spared if only 45 righteous people were found. And again, God assured Abraham the city would be spared. Verse 27. And Abraham answered and said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall be lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Will thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, "If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it." Abraham continued the conversation with God and talked God all the way down to 10, with God confirming the city would not be destroyed if 10 righteous people could be found within the city. Verse 29. And he spake unto him yet again and said, "Peradventure there shall be 40 found there." And he said, "I will not do it for 40's sake." And he said unto him, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there." And he said, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." And he said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 20's sake." And he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Two angels of God arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot, Abraham's nephew, saw them arrive. He invited the angels to his house, providing them with a huge feast, even though the angels were willing to overnight on the city streets. Genesis 19, verse 1. And there came two angels at even, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. It didn't take long before the men of the city came to Lot's house looking for the visitors, because they wanted to have sex with the strangers. Lot stepped outside the home and begged them not to act in an evil way, and in a strange compromise of good and evil, instead offered his daughters to the men. The men wouldn't have any of this and pressed Lot to give up the men. The angels pulled Lot back into the house and caused the men outside the front door to be blind. Verse 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, come past the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Once inside, the angels asked Lot if he had family in town and advised him that all who were family needed to leave the city because God would destroy the city. Lot stepped outside the home to find his sons-in-law to let them know that God would soon destroy the city. His sons-in-law had no interest in hearing what Lot was saying, but his daughters heeded the word of their father. Verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides, son-in-law and thy sons and daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Early the next morning, before the sun had risen, the angels hustled Lot and his family out of the city, and once they were safely outside the city, told them to not look back, but to continue to the mountains. Lot asked if he could escape to the city of Zoar, where they would be safe. Verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither, is it not a little one, and my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city, for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. It was when they had arrived at Zoar, when the sun was shining on Sodom and Gomorrah, that God began the destruction of the cities. Lot's wife looked back at the cities and was turned into a pillar of salt. Verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. We don't know why Lot's wife looked back at the cities as they were being destroyed, and the why isn't important to the consequences for her actions. She looked back when she was told not to look back. In our calling today, we only look forward, even though all of us have this thing called memory. With memory, we can easily look back at the life we once had. we cannot allow this part of the human condition to cause us to lose sight of the goal we have of God's righteousness and the kingdom of God. Each of us in our current life have human needs and connections which can come between us and our calling. Jesus made it clear that we cannot allow any person to come between us and God. When a person wanted to honor his parents by remaining with them throughout their natural life, Jesus told this man he was not worthy to be part of the kingdom of God. Just like Lot's wife was turned to a pillar of salt for looking back, we must look forward to the kingdom of God and God's righteousness in all we do. We cannot look back. Luke 9, verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In another passage, Jesus explained that by comparison, we must love less the people who are part of our life than we love Jesus and God the Father. Nothing that we have, whether a tangible item or a human relationship, can be equal to the love we have for Jesus and God the Father. Luke 14, verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. The things and people of this world will never equal the righteousness we need for the kingdom of God. Because we have this gift of the Holy Spirit that has been given to us, we need to prioritize this gift in our life. We cannot look back and be focused on the life we once had, a life that focused on the physical human body. We have been called to a life that transcends our physical human body through the forgiveness of sins by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That forgiveness is a gift, as there is nothing we could do to earn the gift. There is nothing transactional when it comes to eternal life and salvation. It is a gift. Because we have been given this gift, We are to be living a life where we are rich in good works, walking in those good works, living in those good works. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In Hebrews, we are told to lay aside every weight and sin which can easily trip us up. We are instead to be focused on the race that is set before us. We are not going to be looking behind us, but in front of us as we seek the spiritual finish line. As we run our spiritual race, we are not going to be looking at the weight of the problems of this life, present or past. We are looking to the future, knowing that what was once part of our life or is currently part of our life has been allowed by God for our betterment. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, and have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if he be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. With our spiritual life, we seek peace with all men and holiness. We know in the life we have now, we know people who are of the faith and who are not of the faith. We are to seek peace with all people, including those who are not yet called. We are not told to seek contention. And the only contention that we should arise is when our pursuit of holiness becomes a moral dilemma for those who are not called. We are not to allow a root of bitterness to spring up in our lives, because roots of bitterness cause problems for others beyond those who are bitter. Verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. We become what we envision. If we focus our vision on what is righteous, we will radiate righteousness. If we focus our vision on what is evil, evil will become our focus. If we focus our vision on our physical needs, we will be focused on our physical needs. Jesus taught that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and our needs will be met. Matthew 6, verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore thy light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. David, who was a man after God's own heart, did not have an easy life. David's life was a life full of betrayal and challenges until he died. With life's disappointments, David could have easily lost sight of God. David never did that and remained focused on God and Psalms, asking God to guide his words and thoughts as he looked towards God. Psalm 141, verse 1. Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked words with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Let the righteous smite me, shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. When their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as one that cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord, in thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I withal escape. Like Lot's wife, we could look back to the life we once had, a life where we had little to no knowledge about the ways of God. We could focus our vision on this physical life we have now. Instead, we are told by Paul in his letter to the Philippians to focus our vision on what is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, having a good report that is bundled with virtue and praise. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. As we look forward to the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, are we focusing our vision where it needs to be, or are we distracted by the life we once had? To the Ephesians, Paul wrote that we are to walk worthy of the calling we have. He explained to them that coupled with this walk that is worthy of the calling we have will be meekness, humility, patience, tolerance, and love. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. To the Colossians, Paul wrote that we are to walk worthy of the Lord, being fruitful in good works, increasing our knowledge of God, and strengthened by his might through patience and tolerance as we live a life of joy, as we give thanks to God the Father. If in our life we lack joyfulness, we need to examine and see if we are walking worthy of the Lord. If our life is full of frustration, Are we looking forward to the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, or like Lot's wife? Are we looking back to Sodom and Gomorrah? Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Everything we do should be reflective of our calling. There should be no inconsistencies in our life as we strive for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. There should also be no fear. There is nobody who can separate us from the love of Christ, and anything that is done seemingly to accomplish this objective will end in failure. As others try to separate us from the love of Christ, we may suffer from time to time, but we always look forward to the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. We do not look back to the life we once had. Philippians 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation in that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. We all are to seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness so that we may have eternal life. We must continue this pursuit until the day we are changed in the spirit, knowing that along the way we will suffer hardship, because what we believe is in stark contrast to the evil of this world. We never have reason to look to the life we left. We instead look forward to this future prize, eternal life, and our place in the kingdom of God. Philippians 3, verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, we look toward the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. We do not look back to the life of sin we have left, like Lot's wife did. Even though we will have difficulties in our current life, we are to focus on the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and not the difficulties in our life. When we look forward and not backwards, we can live a life of gratitude and joy. Are we living that life of gratitude? Are we living that life of joy? Let us all press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.